T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hi.
We've got Uncle Chris.
Oh, hello.
The show's namesake, BJ Shea.
And I said...
What'd you say?
Pardon me?
Oh. And also... Manning the boards is Joey Deez.
I am just confused.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't like him.
On today's show, we will get a review of Blade Runner. We will talk a lot of television. And, of course, I will speak with Gareth von Kallenbach. And, of course, also the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
They get a hold of us via our website, which is bjgeeknation.com. It has all our information, social medias, and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. And if you want to email me or the rest of the show, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. Lots of ways to contact us. And if you're listening to this on Friday, the day that we've launched this podcast, you still have enough time to go check out GE2.
Is that because it's tomorrow?
It is tomorrow and Sunday. Some experiential gaming, stuff like VR, drone racing. You can watch the esports competition of Rocket League for a $5,000 grand prize. There's a lot of stuff going on over there, and you can get tickets and information at GE2.live. That's the letter G, the letter E, the number 2.live.
Yes!
Lots of fun. Now, we do need to talk TV, but I want to get...
TV.
But I want to get the review of Blade Runner, because BJ, you and your son both saw it.
We're the only one that cares about it around here. Chris is all like, I really want to see it, but I don't do nothing.
Nope.
All right, well, that's perfect.
It's kind of how I was with this.
I mean, yeah, I just...
I haven't watched the original really recently at all, and I have no desire to go back and watch it. And with this one, I just didn't necessarily feel like I wanted to experience this dystopian future of Blade Runner.
I wanted to watch the original. I just didn't know which one to watch. I spent money on the director's cut, and now it's just a coaster. and then I went on Amazon. I thought, oh, you know what, I'll buy it, or go on Apple, you know, and go and iTunes and buy it. But there's the final cut, the director's cut, the cut, and I'm like, I don't want to watch the movie that I didn't see in the theaters, and I didn't do it because I'm so confused. Which one is the one that I saw originally?
I mean, did they Lucas it? Can you even watch the original now at this point?
Yeah, and I'm bummed out because without the narration of Harrison Ford in Blade Runner, it makes a big difference. It makes it a lot more boring, if you ask me, and I want the one that I saw.
Yeah. And that's an interesting point, because reading online, I'd read a couple of reviews that really didn't like Harrison Ford's voiceover in it, because they thought that he was almost sounded bored when he was doing it.
He probably was.
But he's supposed to be. The character of Rick Deckard, the whole world is, they're bored and lifeless. I mean, so that's what
Translate to a good movie? Because it's so lauded and people love this movie and... Everyone's bored. Here's a movie about it.
It's really a wonderful story, and it's very maudlin and morose. And so, yeah, you have to realize, okay, you're loving this version of the world. And also, remember, this was 1968 when it was originally written, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, Philip A. Dick, and then, of course, turned into Blade Runner.
Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, him too. And right. Well, Philip could also be considered.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Rev. And so Blade Runner 2049, it was great to take my son, because I try to have him watch a director's cut of Blade Runner, and we both realized this is a mistake.
Man, yeah, I remember watching it, but it was like, I remember the scene where Harrison Ford shoots the chick.
at the mall as she's running through, and it being like a pretty good, you know, scenery wise, like everything looked awesome. You wouldn't what you would expect from an 80s movie kind of a thing. But beyond that, I didn't really remember anything.
And that's a problem. They try to set the tone at the beginning of Blade Runner 2049. They go, here's what's going on, here's what's going on, like four different bullet points to try to get you into what you missed if you didn't see Blade Runner.
Okay, okay.
The trouble is that you just can't do it. You really, it's just not going to get you in the mood to care about like the severity of what's going on in this movie. Enough to want to sit through 2+ hours. And sadly, one of the most important characters of all, Joey Deez, didn't think even belonged in the movie. That's because they just couldn't get you to care enough if you didn't see the first one.
Wow.
And yeah, Harrison Ford, and Joey, you can tell the story. By the time we got to Harrison Ford, what was your opinion?
I mean, he doesn't need to be in the movie.
He's Rick Deckard. He's like, he doesn't need to be in the movie.
He kind of has to be, right?
That means they didn't do a good job.
And I think the reason why is because after BJ explained it to me, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes a bunch of sense. No wonder this is such a big character. But when I'm watching the movie for the first time and I haven't seen the first one, I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, well, the Resistance people want him dead. The new people don't know what to do with him and are trying to kind of kill him. I mean, they're trying to kind of capture him, but they don't care. They're just going to, you know, whatever. And he just should be dead because he'd help everyone out being in that sense. So, you know, it doesn't really make any sense. You get to this huge, like, reveal because you've seen Harrison Ford in all the trailers. And it's like, I need your help. I'm here to be there. And then you're sitting there and you go, well, Harrison Ford isn't doing anything.
So I look at the both of you guys and you're very confused. And so I keep forgetting that this is a full-blown spoiler. So here's the deal. We know that, and this is the other thing that Joey missed as well because he didn't see the first one. We know that Deckard falls in love with Rachel. That's the big thing. Mm-hmm. He can't retire her because he loves her. And, mm-hmm. and here it is. She's a replicant. You know, can she really pass for a full-blown human? That's the problem. You know, she's the highest of the Nexus models, I think the 8,000 or so. And he falls in love with her. That's the tragedy of the movie, is that, you know, he realizes, wow, you know, I mean, I love this android. I love this. Well, as it turns out, we find out in this new movie that they made a baby, which is, I guess, considered a miracle, which...
Yeah, it kind of seems like it would.
Two replicants having a baby, yeah.
Yeah, well, you see, is he a replicant? Was it decided that he was? Because I don't think he was considered.
I heard that, I thought that it had been established that he was
he
the director.
He was a replicant.
Yeah, the director came out and said specifically Deckard is a replicant.
See, the trouble is that I don't know if they really tell us this in the new movie.
Oh.
Because you're right. I forgot that, was it Ridley Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's got a different director, even though Ridley Scott produced it. It's a beautiful movie. Joe, did you get the idea that Deckard was a replicant, which might make it understand why he can live? See, that's the problem. Even though they're androids, they can die. They still have to be able to breathe. At least that's established in the new movie.
Okay.
Like, they can die, and they can be hurt. They can be retired. And there was a scene in this movie where if a replicant doesn't get air, it dies.
Huh.
So Harrison Ford is living in a wasteland in Las Vegas that's highly irradiated, and Joey and I were both like, how's he living here? But I guess if he's a replicant, maybe that's it. So that's even more disturbing than with this movie, because if he is a replicant, then he's really valuable, and they don't treat him like he's really valuable, because they go, if we can find the baby, like, who's the baby who should be an adult by now? That's what this movie's about. They're looking for the baby. And so the movie leads you to believe that, in fact, Ryan Gosling's character may be the baby.
Oh.
So talk about a coincidence. I will tell you, that's not the case.
Oh.
But the way the movie goes along, it's a well-done movie. It's well-acted. We both liked it. But the flaws of the fact that the two factions looking to find this baby so they can make miracle babies, while the police department doesn't want it to happen because they're in charge of retiring the replicants, they think it'll be a big war if all of a sudden replicants could reproduce.
Yeah. I'm starting to think that this movie's actually really good. I think what happened is it was literally made for critics because it's really, you know, smart, and there's a lot of small details, and if you did your research, you'll probably catch all this stuff. Because the more I keep learning after seeing the movie, the more I'm like, well, now this makes more sense. Well, now this makes more sense. And it was my biggest complaint. They don't set the stage of the movie because when you jump into it, you don't realize how much of a slum Earth is. Earth has been destroyed, mm-hmm. and everyone's moved off planet. But the big guy who saved Earth is like a giant billionaire, and he clearly still lives on Earth. And you don't really get that idea that everyone else is just really poor because even in the other areas, it's even worse than inside their main area.
And here's the guy who saved Earth. This is a new guy. It's the Wallace Corporation that bought the old corporation that made the replicants. But of course, that corporation was put in ruin because of the new models. He created a dumber, forced to obey replicant. Ooh. He solved the problem of the Rachels of the world.
Okay.
And so Wallace is now a super rich guy, and he's helped out Earth in that respect.
And it's funny that you say it was made for critics, because this got certified fresh at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, while the audience score was 82%.
Interesting on that end, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And Joey, how do you reconcile the fact that if Harrison Ford's character, if Rick Deckard is a replicant, why would they not want to figure... He was instrumental in making this baby. They didn't care about him. They were going to kill him. They just wanted him to get information about the baby. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this is the dude that made the baby. Wouldn't you want him to...
Yeah, because if he can make a baby as a replicant, like you said, it's a miracle.
Why wouldn't they just take him apart and dissect him? All they wanted to do was either...
And figure out why, if they could.
Yeah, one side wanted to kill him, and the other side wanted to torture him. And that's the thing, is they wanted to torture him, and part of me is like, well, is he a replicant or not a replicant? Because they're treating him like a human in this movie.
It was that the replicants wanted freedom, and they didn't really care about reproducing. That was clearly established, I think, by the end of the movie.
And they hid the baby.
And they hid the baby in the sense that when the time was right for the revolution, they'd reveal that they can have kids. Despite it only happening one time in this like 50 to 60 year period, the other guy, the guy who made all of the replicants, was more interested in having them reproduce because he couldn't create enough of them, but he didn't want to give them freedom. So he was going to take Deckard and figure out how he was able to reproduce with another replicant and then do it himself and still keep them enslaved.
But yeah, he'd keep his dumb ones.
But he wanted Deckard to find the baby. It didn't seem like he wanted Deckard because he was going to torture.
Both, but he was just settling for what he could get.
Because you don't have to torture Deckard. You'd knock him out and experiment on him. Like, you wouldn't have to threaten him with torture. So that, but maybe you're right, Joe. Maybe he was just, well, we're going to get the baby first and then I'll also work on you. There was a lot of questions. But it was a good movie. The cinematography was fantastic. Also, another CGI character, which was better than Princess Leia.
Oh,
but like, they've definitely come even further in that one. Was it one? Has it been a year?
Yeah, basically.
Sean Young's character of Rachel comes back, and she interacts with the old Harrison Ford. And I looked, and I was like, I knew that was, you know, I go, okay, this is 1980s Sean Young.
Yeah,
that's not her. And even Joey was like, yeah, that's supposed to be the old chick. So how? She looked amazing, the CGI, like the recreation.
Wow.
Even when she was speaking, she really looked like she was upset and emotional, which I could, like, well, I'm like, okay, better and better. They're going to have CGI characters from the past that are going to, you're not going to be able to tell her CGI.
I'm waiting for all just the holograms. We're just going to have hologram actors all the time.
That was actually, there was a great hologram scene of what you're talking
about.
Really? In the movie. Yeah. Just let's say hologram Elvis was fantastic.
Oh, geez. The future is now.
It's worth seeing. I'm sad we didn't get to see it in 3D. The other sad thing is for some reason, a lot of our theaters around our area are not showing us the 3D version.
Like, they dumped this movie fast.
We saw the IMAX 2D, and I'm like, well, there's an IMAX 3D. Why wouldn't you show it, you know, in your IMAX 3D theater? You've got it. So that was sad, because I think in 3D, this would have even been more amazing. You would have been immersed in the world. A lot of great things about it. I think it's worth seeing, but it'd be nice if you could see it on the big screen if possible.
I hear you.
What do you give it, Joe?
I give it an 8. I think if you go into the movie with literally everything you just learned, you'll probably like it a lot more, like 9.5.
Okay, yeah, because at that point you're going to know what's going on, and you can just kind of experience the setting.
Exactly.
And I'm with Joe. I kind of forgot a lot of details and totally forgot the idea that that Ridley Scott said that Harrison Ford was a replicant. That makes it a little bit more for me. It puts a little bit more juice in the movie for me.
I'm wondering, is it in 3D?
It in 3D?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it could have pushed it out of it.
That's
there.
What I'm thinking is, if like Blade Runner, if they're like, well, you know, it's doing really well, maybe we'll just
screw Blade Runner.
We'll just do.
Well, the thing is, there's only one IMAX theater in the place we went to. They only have one. But they decided only to show the 2D version. That's what I don't understand. Is like, why wouldn't you show the 3D version?
There were only five people in that theater.
Wow.
Which it blows my mind that, like, I feel like I'm looking right now, Happy Death Day last week. week is getting 66% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it pushed Blade Runner out.
A lot of people really like that one, and it's the Halloween time.
Yep.
You're not going to want a slower movie. You're going to want those scares and that sort of thing.
It is a slow movie.
And so, and it's like over 2.5 hours long.
They could have, maybe artistically they made it as long as they did Rev, but Joe and I were like, there's a scene where he goes to look for Harrison Ford, and you're like, you know what? We don't need to see him walk through this whole thing. He could have just basically, here he is. There's a lot of scenes like that, but then again, some people like that slower beauty of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should make a director's cut it up more version.
Kevin Smith should edit a lot of the movies, because Kevin Smith talked about how editing, you need to cut movies up.
Yeah.
He knows how to do that. I'd love to see Kevin Smith edit a lot of these movies like how his version would be.
Let's talk some television. The only two shows that I managed to watch this week were Orville and Gotham. Gotham, I didn't really necessarily want to call it a filler episode.
It was close.
But I think what the big thing for it for me was the fact that you got to see the repercussions of Bruce Wayne playing Batman and getting people killed.
Yeah.
And it being his fault, because he's like, well, greater good sort of thing. I can't give this dagger to Ra's al Ghul. I have to hold on to it, even if it means this poor kid and his grandfather get killed.
And I think that's important to see how that will formulate his personality. I think you're right, Rev. That's why it's not a complete filler episode for me, because it does give you that.
Yeah, but beyond that, there really wasn't much more to this episode.
I'm loving Barbara Keene.
Barbara was great.
I love dead Barbara.
It's her cool, calm, and collected when she used to be that crazy ex-girlfriend.
This one was written by Ben McKenzie.
Okay.
Wrote it?
He did write it.
What does he think he is, Mr. Fancy?
Sexy is what he is.
And that was the thing. Right, it was one of those ones where I'm like, oh, yeah, he's getting all the sweet action scenes. He's getting at one point when he did the kiss with Sophia, like, it was just this, like, yeah. But at the same point, it was like the music comes up and they're in front of like a fireplace. And I was like, this is daytime soap opera stuff here. They just went into daytime soaps now.
I had no problem with that. I think it fits the era, because it makes me think of Archer. It's like every time someone says, what year is this? Archer always replies, yeah, I know, right? Because we don't know what year it is.
Yeah, and they have such a mix of old technology and
new
ones.
But they have cell phones, like the way they dress.
But they're flip phones.
Yeah, they're flip phones. Yeah, they're not smartphones. Yeah,
they got the razor?
Yeah, they do.
Then they have like people, like young ladies named Myrtle or whatever her name was, Riddler's biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just like, what year is this? So I'm like, I allow it. I allow it, because I don't know what the hell year it is.
Yeah, and I think is a nice nod to a lot of the Batman cartoons that have been done, because of the fact they had that sort of noir look to them with the way that they drew those and set the setting. So I like that.
Orville was kind of the same with me on that. It was an episode that I watched, and it progressed this. I not really progressed any story. It was just its own kind of self-contained thing.
Oh, wait, did you see, you're talking about the Krill?
Are you talking Pryor or Krill?
Oh, yes, the Krill.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You really didn't think it progressed any storyline? It told the whole story about the bad guys.
Space vampires, yeah. I mean, it was kind of neat.
Did you miss their religion, and that's what drives them?
Yeah. Maybe it just didn't interest me.
Or the sparks of who knows what they're going to think of humanity now. This was a huge moving episode for the whole Krill story arc.
They could have killed everyone, and the whole point was to not kill the children.
Yeah, but the only thing that I got from it is the fact that Ed and his Gordon basically just created more people and incited radicalism.
Well, does that not sound like a Gene Roddenberry theme about what's going on today?
Yeah, but it turns the people who you want to be heroes into actual monsters.
Yes.
And they were stuck in... Okay, I see. But now that I'm talking about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it was just... Yeah, I don't want to feel like the people that I'm rooting for are the a-holes. And
kind of what the Federation is. If you watch Farscape... Peacekeepers, which was basically their commentary on what a Federation might really be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Union is a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah, well, when you're trying to be peacekeepers and you're trying, you've got all these rules and laws and regulations, you can easily be fascist. You can go down that road if you keep going down that road.
This is true. But I think the most important thing, at least for me, that I got out of this episode was we actually saw Mercer sort of changing hearts and minds with these kids. He spared all of their lives. He had almost a relationship with that one kid whose name I can't think of right now. But
I think it was Slappy.
It was like Slappy. Yeah. Copy or something.
So
like
him,
that.
Him and
Koja.
Koja. Koja.
It was Avis, wasn't it?
Koja. Yeah.
Was it Hertz?
We have our own god named Hertz. That's a good line. That's a good line.
I know. I love that character. He's so, so corny.
So dumb.
On one hand, yeah, they had to kill everybody on the ship because they weren't going to be able to talk them into peace. And yeah, that was kind of a dickish thing to do, but they spared everyone on the planet, and they managed to spare the children as well.
The needs of the many. I mean, it really was the devil's choice. What choice do you make?
Yeah.
And he just decided, because of human sensibilities, I guess we'll save the kids, which for some reason, kids are more valuable than adults.
Well, no, the whole point, I think he even said, it's like, they don't think that we have souls. And if we kill everyone, including the children, then we're proving them right.
Exactly.
And that hit me. I was like, okay, cool. And that way, like, any children, this is a fantasy show, and I've never met any aliens, so I can't really say.
Oh, you have?
No.
Well, say hello to Chris.
Hi. How are you doing?
But it's like, you can, it is important to what we're seeing today with all the hate that's going on. Mm-hmm. It's like, we can change. It's like, you just have to ask the right questions and be willing to learn and teach. It's just like, well, why are humans like this? It's like, well, they want to learn. And if we learn, we can have a different future. We won't have to keep fighting.
That.
All right. Good point. Good point on
Woo!
That.
And the beauty of what Vicky just said is that is important to humans. It's funny to see that other aliens have their own mores and it means nothing to them. She basically said, oh, yeah, you've proven something to these kids that you're all horrible, evil creatures.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't matter what he thought was the right thing to do. By their senses and sensibilities, the devil is always the devil.
Exerting human morals. And that's been a constant on the show, actually, now that I think about it, with the Bortus, with the child thing.
Yeah,
if you're pushing the morality of humanity onto alien races who don't think that same way, how good is that? And so, yeah, I see what you're saying. I agree now at this point. There was a lot more to this than I really first gave.
And if you're looking a little deeper, I don't know much about Gene Roddenberry, just based on what you guys have kind of taught me along the way. And it seems like everything was kind of like between green aliens and blue aliens, we're all just coexisting.
Right.
And we shouldn't be looking at the color of our skins or whatever we decide to worship or what kind of eggs, babies we pop out of our alien selves. So I think it was kind of it does hit close to home, and it did have like a Gene Roddenberry feel to it.
Yeah. Now going from the non-Star Trek show to the actual Star Trek show, which I don't think has any sort of Gene Roddenberry-ness to it.
Star Trek.
Very little, very little.
Star Trek.
So Star Trek Discovery.
I'm glad you brought it up, because it actually does. Take a look at what's going on with the Klingons. This is exactly what's going on with the Klingons. The Klingons view the Federation as hostile with their "we come in peace," which for them is the most evil thing you can say to the Klingons, because the Klingons are like, yeah, which means you're going to make us docile and change our ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's funny that the Krill explain the Klingons a little better from Star Trek Discovery, which is because that's what's going on with the Klingons right now. And Joey Deez does not, you don't buy that?
I haven't watched the show.
Oh,
yeah. After that third episode, I just couldn't.
He gave up, man.
He missed the great character from Star Trek.
Oh, there's so many great characters on Star Trek.
This guy.
I can't believe it's my son. I'm disowning him.
I know, right?
I'm disowning him.
But, Chris, you did watch it. So.
Oh, absolutely, I did. And I really enjoyed Rainn Wilson in there as Harry Mudd. Oh, man.
As Harry Mudd?
Yep.
What a name. 10 out of 10.
Have you not seen the Harry Mudd episodes from the original?
I haven't.
He's forgotten. I showed you all those original episodes. You just forgot. Right.
I remember the furry animals. So you're talking about those Harry Mudds?
Oh, boy.
Those are tribbles.
I'm disowning
you.
Rainn Wilson was great as Harry Mudd in this episode, and I really liked the way they treated him in that in the prison in the Klingon prison where they'd captured Lorca and everything like that, and them escaping from the Klingons. But what I really took away from this episode was the development of the head science dude's character, Stamets.
Oh yeah, Lieutenant Stamets. Yeah,
and what he did in the clutch moment, almost at the end of the show. In fact, basically the end of the episode, and that was a great thing for me. It's like I expected them to give that to Burnham.
Yeah.
I really expected them to take that DNA spray or whatever, and Burnham was going to say, to heck with it. I'm everybody's rogue element anyway. Why not just do this? Stamets did it, and that was important to me. Everything else in the episode was fine and great and wonderful, but that moment with Stamets gave me everything I wanted, and it made me care about this
character.
And
what Chris
now
is talking about is they had this alien creature that they needed to use to travel basically instantaneously any place they wanted to go in the galaxy. It allowed them to travel just like, it was almost like making little mini wormholes. They'd go anywhere they want and appear out of nowhere, which really pissed off the Klingons, because the Klingons thought, hey, there are no starships within parsecs. We're great. Next thing you know, boom, there's the Discovery.
No warp signatures, nobody inbound, just all of a sudden, boom, there's Discovery.
Yeah, and they talk about this tech that they have, which is kind of cool to do that, but it required the use of this alien creature that was really a very peaceful, docile creature, but it was being tormented every time they used it for this purpose.
Damn.
Yeah. And eventually, Burnham was able to convince everybody that, look, we got to stop tormenting this creature. I know we're at war. And the captain was kidnapped, so him not being on the ship, I think, allowed the rest of the Federation crew to be more like a real Federation crew and not just be like, well, we don't care about anybody else. We're just going to win this war.
Damn.
And Harry Mudd, oh, man, Rainn Wilson updated that character and made him exactly how he would be if he appeared today. Fantastic. I hope we see more of this character from Rainn Wilson. Harry Mudd is awesome. And Joe, I have to show you those episodes, because Harry Mudd is a beloved, iconic character from the original series. He's fun. He's
you and my wife can sit down and watch them together.
I can't wait to watch more things.
I want to watch those episodes now. And I was like,
Quickly, a couple of shows that are just coming back. Mr. Robot. BJ, have you seen the new one?
I have. How about you, Prodigy? Joey D's?
No. I do want to watch it, though. I haven't seen anything yet.
I will tell you about this with Mr. Robot. This opening season, we are seeing, because he got shot last season, and we weren't sure if he was going to live or die, because he got shot by a guy who we thought was actually another figment of his imagination.
Clearly not.
And turns out, no, that guy is 100% real. Terrell, I think his name is, I think that's who I'm thinking of.
Yep.
And Terrell is real. I thought for sure he wasn't real. I love this show because they filmed it in such a way to make you wonder if Terrell was another figment of his imagination, just like Mr. Robot, who actually is his father, who's dead. But we find out now that, as we found out a little bit last season, his father, this Mr. Robot character, actually takes him over like a Tyler Durden thing from Fight Club. It's not that he just sees him. He basically gets possessed by him, and he doesn't know when that's happening. So it's definitely a split personality where sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's him, and sometimes it's Mr. Robot. And that is what we've noticed, to the point where Mr. Robot said, if anybody, including me, tries to stop our mission, stop me.
Oh, or anybody. Totally Tyler Durden right there at that point.
And so that's exactly what happened. And we weren't sure if the shooting, basically, we don't know, because we don't see Mr. Robot again. He's wondering himself. Elliot's like, hey, I wonder if Mr. Robot's gone ever since I got shot. Well, as it turns out, no.
Not so much.
Except he's not seeing him, but Mr. Robot is showing up, basically taking him over.
Wow.
So basically the mission is stopped, and Elliot actually stops the second part, which is going to involve basically the destruction of a building with everybody in it. And that was when Elliot was like, that's not what I signed up for. I don't mind ruining a company, but I'm not going to kill like all these innocents. But of course, Mr. Robot goes, no, we're going to do it. And so everybody is really having a difficult time dealing with basically, is this Tyler Durden or is this, you know. And so it's fun to watch. It was a good first episode. And the S hit the fan. It's such a good show. I love Mr. Robot on USA. And son, when are you going to start watching that?
After Halloween. I'm going to dress up as Mr. Gobot.
Oh, Mr. Gobot. That's awesome. That's actually a really good mashup.
Awesome. Now it is actually time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what new movies are coming out?
I'll tell you two crappy ones, and I'll tell you one that has a lot of potential.
Oh, boy.
The Snowman has Michael Fassbender in it. It is a horror movie. Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not about, like, what was it, the Billy Crystal, like, snowman one, or what was it? It was the Batman. Michael Keaton.
There it is.
Yeah, he was a snowman. This is not that.
Which it's not Frosty.
There is a Batman in this. We got Magneto, we got Batman. Val Kilmer is in this movie. Oh. J.K. Simmons also in this movie.
Oh, we got J. Jonah Jameson.
Yep. Well, now Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
A few other folks, but it is only getting 20%.
Really? Wow.
It's based on
a very, very, like a best-selling book, a crime novel, or a murder mystery.
Well, do you kind of know what it's about, or do you want
to? No, I'm sure the synopsis there is fine.
Basically, the lead detective, played by Michael Fassbender, investigates the disappearance of victims on the first snow of winter, And he fears an elusive serial killer may be active again. With the help of a brilliant recruit, the cop must connect decade-old cold cases to the brutal new one if he hopes to outwit this unthinkable evil before the next snowfall. So it's creepy. Like, you'll see people decapitated with, like, the snowman head, and then they'll find the, according to the trailer. I've only seen the trailer.
Yeah.
And then you'll see their heads on a snowman.
Nice.
So I'm just like, that's messed up.
Yeah, sure is. All right, what's next?
Another one. It's only getting 39%. Leatherface is what it's called.
So is that the remake of Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, it says in Texas, years before the events of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the early days of the infamous Sawyer family, the youngest child is sentenced to a mental hospital after a suspicious incident leaves the sheriff's daughter dead. 10 years later, the Sawyer teen kidnaps a young nurse and escapes with three other inmates.
Herbert. Wow. I don't know if I needed a backstory to Leatherface.
Yeah.
But apparently you're getting
it. It's a bit
much. What's it getting on Rotten Tomatoes?
It is getting 39%.
Yeah, so maybe we will miss that one.
It's Halloween,
but
everybody.
The one you do want to see that is getting 82%, and I saw a thing of it online a while back and forgot it was coming out. It's called Tragedy Girls.
Oh, what's this?
And it's got our girl, Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. What's her name? Brianna Heldenberg.
Oh, from Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Basically, it's Tragedy Girls is a twist on the slasher genre following two death-obsessed teenage girls who use their online show about real-life tragedies to send their small Midwestern town into a frenzy and cement their legacy as modern horror legend. Basically, they're doing everything for the likes. But in another synopsis, they manage to capture the killer and secretly hold him hostage.
Ooh.
And they realize the best way to get scoops on future victims would be to, you know, murder people themselves.
Oh, jeez.
One of the reviews says it's Heathers meets Scream for the Instagram era.
Wow. That actually sounds really interesting, then.
Yeah, it is getting 82%.
Nice. That might be the one thing you want to go check out.
Yeah, especially for the 'tis the season for horror movies.
Tragedy Girls.
Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.